Hello everyone, this is Caleb, your GM. A quick word before our show today. Welcome to Chapter 4 of Trailblazers, Against All Odds. To all of you who have been listening since the previous chapters, I'm glad you stayed with us and hope you enjoy this chapter as much as the others. To everyone who's joining us for the first time, welcome to Trailblazers, where we follow our party on their adventures through the world. I hope you all enjoy today's program, and thank you all so much for listening. I love you. Last time on Trailblazers, David, a man who was originally from our world, now finds himself in a strange land being hunted by a man calling himself Kaiser Soze. This man occasionally sends otherworldly assassins to find and hunt David down. On top of all this, David struggled hard against villains from the world he finds himself in and just defeated the leader of a mighty group of ninjas, Oroku Saki. David not only defeated this madman, but put a stop to a terrible device he was using to create a storm so ravishing that it would destroy the world. Pick up with David barely alive following the explosion of the machine. Will he recover? What will happen to the Lin Kuei now that their leader is dead? After all this, can David still manage to figure out more about the mysterious Kaiser Soze? Find out this week on Trailblazers!
You can hear your heartbeat. You can feel it. And you're back and you're looking up. And it looks like the sky's on fire.
Yeah!
And there's like bright flashes every once in a while from the sky. But the storm is gone. The clouds have dissipated.
Thought we blew up the moon.
There's a breeze that you're getting because you're on top of this very, very high, fortress. And your head is in hands and your whole back is all soaked in water because there's standing water on top of this roof that you're on. There's rubble all around you. Your left arm, you don't even feel it anymore. I don't know if you've ever, like, right after you stub your toe, it's not painful, and you're like, that's going to hurt tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you're in shock or you're have a lot of adrenaline or something, but you don't feel it anymore. You look around, and you just kind of turn your head. That's all you can really do and have the energy for. You look over to your right, and there is there's a pile of chainmail, and in it, Phoenix, and there's no movement over there. And you move your head to the left, and over there is the wreckage of the machine. And there is a charred, mangled corpse next to it. Bones all bent in different angles, and all shriveled up and just completely charred. As if a person had been burnt to death. It is at this point that you have just a flood of emotions coming to you from everything that's happened to you so far. It all just kind of hits you at once. And you realize that you've gotten to the point where this is it. No one else knows who you are, as you said at the end of our last session, except for, you assume, Kaiser Soze. But no one from this world.
But Valerian.
Aside from Valerian, no one in this area knows who you are anymore. It's just like Valerian and whoever he's told. But no one up here in the north. And you're just kind of, you lost your most recent ally, and you're kind of just utterly alone right now. With no one to help pick you up. What do you do?
I start laughing. But you know, like that kind of laughing people do when, like, exactly that situation?
Yeah.
It's
maniacal, might be the word for it.
Yeah, you're almost just like, it's like, the universe is just one cruel joke against you, so it's almost funny.
I picture the laugh precisely.
And then, I guess what I do is, and I take it everything is still, so the building's not rocking back and forth anymore.
Correct. Still is a great word for everything right now. Still. Quiet.
I kind of army crawl over to Phoenix.
Okay.
Can I make it or no? Am I just...
With every pull of your body, you get an incredible swell of pressure and pain in your head, and things kind of like get black. And when you stop moving, kind of the world comes into view, and you slowly make your way over to Phoenix.
And kind of check him out. He's definitely dead. I mean, from my own limited knowledge
of
vampirism.
You know how to feel a pulse. You look at him, and he appears dead.
Okay. Do I see Jude anywhere?
Yeah, you don't see him immediately. He's not in your immediate surroundings.
Okay, I kind of pad down Phoenix. Does he have anything useful on him?
He has a shattered amulet, a big old great axe lying next to him.
Ooh, here's something I meant to ask you. Yeah. I look at my hand. Is the dungeon ring still there?
It has fallen off. It was on your left hand, and your hand is so shriveled that it's fallen off.
All right, so I don't have to worry about that stupid thing anymore. All right, will you let me do a heal check?
Tell me what you're going to do, and I'll let you know.
Like, I would, like, fashion a sling, at a, like, rip some cloth or some of the chainmail and try to, like, sling my left arm into a position that it doesn't move. And then, you know, look at my body. Am I burned? There's puddles of water and cloth. I could, like, you know, just do a little first aid.
All right.
Basic stuff.
You tear your shirt, and you make a sling to get your arm rested. And you can't move your arm at all. You have to use your other hand to move it.
Right. That's what I want. I'm going to tie it against my body, though, so it's not in the way.
Right. You know, just like a sling right in front of you, right?
Or
against you, however you want it. And you are starting to get, like, every heartbeat, it's like somebody's punching you in the temples. Punch. You are, after, like, all your movement of moving stuff, ripping stuff from all, you move on your side with all your effort, and you just puke. You just spill your guts.
Okay.
Caleb, I think that was the nachos. I don't think that was necessarily from combat.
Okay. I told you never eat before a big battle. You never listen to me.
All right, so
especially
now
Mexican. What were you thinking?
Now I'm kind of desperately searching around for Jude. Anything? Scanning, looking.
There's a lot of rubble. The only thing where he could possibly be is near the machine. Everything else, like, you just look, is mostly flat or stones and stuff. Nothing that could be Jude. So you have to drag yourself over the machine, which is on the other end of the roof.
Well, that's unrealistic if I'm in that kind of shape.
You hear noises coming from underneath you.
I take my gun and I fire 3 shots in there.
You can't find your gun.
Oh, come on. You're going to hate like that. find them with whatever strength I have. I just start shouting out. Just like, hey! Hey! Alright, I just keep yelling back. Up here, up here.
One of the holes that the lightning shot and cracked and made a hole in the roof there, a person comes out, and then another person, and they come over to you, and you can hear them talking above you, and you are just in no shape to try to translate Aslanti at the moment.
But it's Lin Kuei?
Yes, it is.
All right, I just say help in Aslanti. I would assume I know how to say that by now.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Not even a sentence, single word.
You see they look around, and they're kind of looking at you, and like they kind of look around again, and then they're talking to each other. And one stays with you, and the other one walks over to the machine. And the guy's just looking you over, and he's like picking up your arm and stuff, and he's looking at you. I mean, he's moving you, it hurts. Not kind of like broken burn hurts, but just like ache all over. Just like the sorest you ever been.
Like I just stuck my arm in a machine that
like you just stuck in your arm machine that sucked life right out of you. Yeah, like that. You know how that feels. You're married, right?
I knew someone was going to get that ring off him.
After a while. you wear your wedding ring in the right left hand, don't you?
All married people wear their wedding ring on their left hand.
Oh, man, that fell off, too.
Not the Prince of England.
That's all right, because it's not actually my wedding ring. I don't wear my actual wedding ring.
Is that right? Where do you keep your wedding ring?
In my safe.
Really? Why is that?
Because I was 35 pounds ago, and I can't wear it.
The other man comes back over you, and they both put their arms underneath your shoulders and pick you up, and you're in such excruciating pain that you are like blacking out and coming in and blacking out and coming back in as they drag you over. And they drag you. So your legs are just like limp as they're dragging you. Can you picture that?
Yeah.
They drag you down to the hole, and they lower you down, and they bring you into Orokosaki's old room that you went through. And there they like make room on the table, and they lay you down on your back, and they say some they're saying things to each other, and you know, not sure how much time passes because you're blacking out, at some point one of the guys he puts his hand in the back of your head and picks your head up, and he puts a vial on your lips, and he goes to pour, and he says, drink.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Okay, you drink it, you cough up a little bit, it's not easy to drink, but you do it.
It's the 1937 vintage of sake, right?
Yeah. It's not actually healing. You're too far gone. It's just some sake that you double pain while you pass.
Yeah. I'm like Popeye. As soon as they give it to me, I jump up and my arms are like...
You regain some of your strength. You can...
Can I put a hit point number to that or no?
We won't bother with hit points at the moment.
Okay.
I'll let you know if hit points matter.
Then don't let anything hit me. Because I'm really low.
The ceiling falls on you. What were you at the end of that?
17.
You were at 17?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You hear that, David? You were on top of the building and the building falls on you.
If it rains too hard, I'm going to die. It doesn't need a building to fall on me. It's like you slip in the shower and you're dead. Like, I need a life alert necklace right now in the game.
You know, those things do work transdimensionally. They're pretty good. All right, so you are, you kind of have your wits about you, and you're okay enough to set up.
Okay. And it's just those two guys, or is there more people?
Oh, it's just those two. And they say to you in Aslanti, something, make a linguistics check to see if you can't figure it out.
And I rolled a 20.
Oh, well, there you go. You wouldn't even need anything. They're saying, come on up, come over here. We have to get you over here.
Where's here? Like, where are they?
They're gesturing to, like, the middle of the room.
Can I get up?
Yep. With their help.
Okay.
And they walk you over. And
so I'm like the Princess Bride. I'm like, I lack the strength to stand. Ooh. Or do I? Drop your sword.
They bring you over one under each arm, helping you out. Kind of like you have your arms over them.
Uh-huh.
And then one kind of takes your arm off around his shoulder and goes over and pulls a lever. And the floor sinks down.
Dope.
In front of you. Maybe 40 feet by 30 feet.
Okay. So a dragon could fit.
Sinks down. And the middle section sinks down deep, but some sections near you stop short of each other to make steps.
Okay.
Can you picture that? They don't.
Yes.
Yeah. They stagger. When it lowers, a gold liquid is filling this empty basin. He says, undress.
And he helps. They definitely have to help me with that. I can't.
They help you undress to just your underwear.
Okay.
Oh my.
I knew you Aslandis were weird.
Go in.
Into the gold liquid?
You must go in.
I kind of look at them like cockeyed.
You must go in. I will help.
Okay.
And he kind of like, he doesn't want to go in at all. So he kind of stays at the end so you can use your hand to kind of get stabilized on both ends.
It's making me nervous that he doesn't want to touch it, but I need to go in. Okay.
And you go in to like your neck level and they say submerge.
Okay.
You go under and you come up and then they say come out.
Okay. What's on me? Is it like...
It sticks to you. It's almost like paint.
Okay. But it's gold.
Yes. And when you go to like rub your eyes, they stop you. But to get that paint off your eyes so you can see. But you're able to like, kind of like, after you blink a little bit, to eventually get your eyes open. And they lead you, they say, over here. And they lead you to a new area if you follow.
Okay, I follow.
Down some stairs, out a hallway, and down a long hallway for a bit. And you see that this place is gotten some pretty well destroyed from the lightning, the abnormal lightning.
So I'm walking around in my underwear covered in gold paint?
Correct.
Okay.
And things are all destroyed around you, but you're going straight, and you can see light in the distance. And they stop. You get to like this archway, and it obviously leads outside. And they stop just short of walking out with you. One guy does, but the other guy does not. I will go out first. In 5 seconds, come out as well.
Okay.
He goes out, and you hear him shouting something. Something, 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 something. You can't quite understand it. And 5 seconds passes.
Okay, I go out.
Okay, you step out, and the light kind of blinds you. You're going from dark to light, and you kind of adjust, and you hear him say, brothers and sisters, I present to you, and he's saying this is all in Aslanti, of course, Oroku Saki, and he gestures to you as you walk forward, and as your eyes adjust, you see all the Lin Kuei who evacuated the structure all laid out on the ground, all standing there, and they're all uproariously cheering for you.
You were just elected Pope, David.
I am the Saki.
Just cheering, just clapping. And it's a lot of people.
I bow to them. I'm doing it. I bow to them.
Oh,
and then
boy.
I
oh, David made the decision. Go ahead.
And then I raise my fist. Uh-huh. My right fist in the air. The new symbol of my reign.
Oh, black power instead of the old one?
Yeah. I'm like this.
They kind of look around and they start getting the picture and one person raises their fist and the next one. And is this the black power straight up in the air kind of?
Yeah.
They all start doing it. You hear cool. Kashet Jedi! Kashet Jedi! Which is their motto of never age. Kashet Jedi! Over and over again.
Wait, so do I speak Aslandi yet or not?
Yeah, you've gotten it down there. We'll say maybe it's not the most eloquent and beautiful, but it's good and it'll improve in time.
I say to him, let's get to work.
And he says, our purpose is your purpose. What is our purpose, Grandmaster?
I say, first we have to restore the stronghold.
Yes, Grandmaster.
And bring me some clothes and find my gun.
It will be done, even as I live.
Okay. And then I say, take me to my chambers.
All right, and as you leave, everyone is cheering. They all do your symbol, and they all say "Kashet Jedi." And he takes you out and takes you over to that room that you were just in with the gold thing, and he says, "Here are your chambers, Oroku." And then he stops himself and he says, "Grandmaster, please forgive me. I presume too much. Your predecessor allowed me to call him by his name. I should not have assumed the same with you. I will get right on your orders, Grandmaster." And he opens up the big double doors, and he looks at you and closes them. And you find yourself at this nice big desk.
So it's kind of like the end of The Godfather. I sit down at the desk as, like, the doors close. So what's with this paint stuff? Can I, like, wash it off?
You can rub it off. It's like you if you were covered in paint. After a bit, some robes are brought to you. Very similar to what Oroku wore in that battle, the blue.
Okay.
The capes and all that. And the guy comes back and he says, everyone is re-entering the temple and they will be working together to rebuild it. I have men looking for your weapon on the roof and on the ground around the fortress.
Okay. I say, I'm going to sleep. I don't want to be disturbed come back in about 8 hours and wake me up.
As you will it. And he goes and he closes the door.
All right. I go and crash. Like I was playing tough for them, and as soon as they leave, I'm like,
okay. You rest 8 hours, yay. 8 hours go by, and that man, he is standing over you, and he kind of shakes you, and he wakes you up.
Hits the snooze button. 5 more minutes.
I ask him, what's his name?
My name is Tassadar.
And what is your position?
I was personal servant to your predecessor.
Then you'll be my personal servant.
As you wish, I am honored. You bestow upon me a great honor.
And you, and only you, you'll call me David. Everybody else can call me Rokusaki or Grandmaster.
As you will it. I will call you David only in the secret places when none other can hear. None other shall hear this name again.
Right, that name is never to be spoken, only between me and you, in private.
As you will it.
I can see it now. David's going to tell everyone, and just in private, you can call me David.
You can call me Dave. Can I call you Kathy?
Little cat fights are going to break out. Well, he said I can call him David. He said I could be
that too. He sees so is discord among the troops.
And then I say,
that was his favorite.
I have my first set of orders. I tell him to find the man on the roof, what did they call him? The knuckle?
The iron knuckle.
I say, I want someone to check him and ensure that he's deceased. If he is, you need to dispatch a small group of Lin Kuei covertly, take him to just inside the boundaries of the Empire, unseen, and bury him. But only bury him once you're inside the boundaries of the Empire. And I made him
alive,
a promise that I intend
just
to keep.
Slay him?
No, if he's alive, you bring him to me. Alive.
And he goes over and he gives these orders to somebody, and they go off to the roof. What if your predecessor, and what of the crying assassin? They were slain by your hand. Will you keep their tradition? Will you bury them?
Yes. Bury them, and Oshitaka, I want buried with the highest honors.
You still can't say his name, right?
I thought it's Oshitaka.
Ashitaka.
Ashitaka.
Listen, it's not Osha. He's not, like, making regulations here.
The other two, do whatever whatever the tradition calls for.
Just put him in the ground somewhere.
He's not my favorite guy in the world, but I won't step on their traditions.
Listen, he pulled off my fingernails, but it was on my left hand, and that's
no, not him.
Anyway.
I'm talking about Orokuzaki.
Right.
So I just tell him do whatever your tradition calls for.
Very well. We will bury him in the graveyard that is set aside for Lin Kuei, and you will put the first dirt on him and the crying assassin.
So be it.
So he gives those orders. After a little bit, he gives you a report, and he says, this is all we have found of your weapon, and he puts the cylinder there. The rest of it we cannot find amongst the rubble. We will continue to search. The Iron Knuckle is dead. He has passed. And
then,
you can carry out your orders now.
Yes, please.
Hey, Jacob, you want to play some D&D tonight?
I can't. I have to go make love to my wife tonight.
Oh, well, next time I'll,
You know, I don't even know if I love her anymore. I don't really know her. Like, what am I gonna do?
Someone should tell Jacob that people change, and it takes effort to stay connected with someone. But in the meantime, the fellows at Tales from the Lich always stay connected through gaming and friendship. When you can't play, listen. TalesfromTheLich.com.
Hey, happy Valentine's Day.
If you are in good health, David, and you may entertain guests, we have people coming to...
I think I know, because it's the only thing I was going to ask for.
Talk about their allegiance.
Yeah. Start with the leaders, whoever is left of the highest ranking members.
Very well. Before they come in, would you like to wash and to change?
Yes.
I can have water brought for you.
Yes.
He brings in some clothes and water and fresh clothes. You can you clean yourself off. You actually look kind of presentable now. You're still a little beat up, but as good as you're going to look. In come a bunch of the people, and they get on their knees, and they bow their heads, and they said, Keshet Jedi, Orokuzaki.
I nod, and I kind of motion them to get up.
They get up. We will serve you until you die or we do.
Okay. My assistant, does he speak common? Or do you speak common?
I do, my lord.
All right, I want you to translate, because I wouldn't know how to say this correctly. I want to make sure that it's understood. So this is just like the leadership, right?
Right. It's about four guys.
I say, I know this must be strange to have a commoner as your master. I would assume I'm the first one, I ask.
You are, my lord.
Then, just so that there's no dissension, I give everyone an opportunity right now without a fear of reprisal. If you have any issue with this, then speak your mind now with no fear of punishment.
They kind of look at each other, and one guy speaks up, and he says, this has never been done, and this is not the way it was meant to be done.
Then I ask him, then how should it be done?
And he looks over at Tassadar and he goes, his second hand, if there is none left in, if Orokuzaki is truly dead, should be put in charge. He is of northern blood. I say with respect, and he bows his head.
I look to the other three and I'm, what say you?
We serve Orokuzaki.
And you acknowledge me as Orokuzaki?
Yes, Grandmaster.
I say,
you are in your rightful place.
So be it. And then I turn to the guy who spoke up and I say, if you want to be relieved from service in the Lin Kuei, then I offer you that with no no harm will come to you. But this is your only opportunity. If you stay, then you serve.
May I serve in a less capacity?
What was your capacity?
I controlled businesses in Antioch.
That's fine. I'll lean on the wisdom of the other leaders to give you a new position. But then you must obey.
I will obey every word that comes out of your mouth.
Okay, and let it be done.
And they bow and they leave. Tassar looks to you and goes, shall we dispatch him tonight?
No. Let's give him an opportunity. I assume he is helpful. He wouldn't be a leader if he wasn't.
He is very influential and has many strengths.
Let's give him an opportunity to prove himself. You'll find me much different than the last master.
I'm beginning to see this.
All right, and then I'm going to need...
I'm going to give him a different voice, but go on.
I'm going to need a few things. Being unfamiliar with your lands, I'm just going to ask you, do you have blacksmiths, men capable of making armor?
We do.
I'm going to need them brought to me. And also, do you have... I need someone brought to me whoever makes the masks that you wear.
I'll bring to you the best.
All right. I need them brought to me as soon as possible.
We'll be done. And he goes out and he gives some orders. Comes back.
And then I say, I will also need, because of my lack of knowledge, an advisor. Who of the leaders would you suggest would be the most loyal and most knowledgeable? The guy had kind of hinted at who was he talking about? Who would have been?
He's speaking of me.
That would have been you?
Yeah, he said Tassadar, and this guy's Tassadar.
Okay.
As most loyal, you will find that loyalty is something that is in generous proportion here. As for most knowledgeable, that would be Zeratul, the keeper of tomes and secrets.
Now,
I'll bring him before you.
No, you'll do.
Yes, my lord.
You are now not just my personal assistant. You're also my chief advisor.
He bows very deeply.
There
is more who have come to pledge their allegiance.
Bring them in.
He speaks to somebody who goes out and lets him in. And you see some guards come in first. Some Lin Kuei. And the doors open. And in comes three Wervians. One guy in the middle with two flanked behind him, left and right. And you see they're completely disarmed. And they walk forward. Actually, right before they go in, Tassadar says to you, I have a variety of powers and strengths, one of which is the ability to undo magic at its core. As long as anything enters this room, magic will not work while I am here with you. This will keep you safe. We can disarm people, and with me, we can make sure their magic is useless. You are safe in this room, as long as I am with it. So then the guys come in as I described.
Okay.
And you see they go in and they don't bow.
Okay.
The Wervian kind of looks left and right and kind of snaps at one of the guys. And goes, oh great Oroku Saki. And he kind of pounds his chest. We served your predecessor. We know not of you. What do you offer us in return for our service?
Tassadar leans to your ear and says, the Wervians joined with your predecessor. They were not a part of this organization before him.
I say, with all respect, you and your brethren's services are no longer required.
Yeah. He kind of like looks surprised. And he goes, we are the strongest in the land. Our wings take us to the skies, while your feeble human feet keep you on the ground. We are strong. You are weak.
And in a flash, the Lin Kuei draw their swords and put them up to like the throats of the Wervians. And Tassadar says, you will mind your tongue or you will lose it. You are speaking to the Grand Master. And they shut up.
Payback sucks, doesn't it?
I say, while I'm no longer offering you service, in this organization, I'm offering you your lives and a peace between us. But if that doesn't work for you, I could just have your heads removed now.
They kind of like look left and right, and they say, "We find your offer acceptable." Tassadar kind of looks at you.
Then away with you.
And everybody sees their swords. Or the swords just disappear. Back, you see, they disappear out of their hands and into their sheaths. And he kind of snarls, and he turns his back on you, and they all walk out.
Oh, snap.
And then I tell Tassadar, is that his name?
Yeah.
I say, make it known among the men that the Wervians are no longer part of the Lin Kuei. And while we don't need to treat them as enemies, any act of aggression should be met with immediate dispatch.
A bold move.
I don't trust them. If they would stay loyal to a man that was clearly gone mad, then I have no use for them.
What else would you have done?
Well, I need to be brought up to speed on what it is, everything that we do.
We have spent a great deal of our time these past few years assembling the machine that was on the roof, getting the parts, getting the designs, getting the schematics, getting everything necessary. That has been our purpose. At the same time, our operations protect the people of this land. The greatest threat is the Empire in the south. It has grown large. With its change of leadership, we are unsure where it stands. We have been making steps to protect ourselves. The machine was our greatest hope, and now it is gone.
Well, now you have something you didn't have before. Your master has served in the Empire and knows the Emperor. And maybe this threat you feel can be extinguished without the need of a terrible machine.
You're a man of wonders, David.
But we don't need to worry about the Empire for the moment. We need to bring the stronghold back up. We need to make sure that our people are taken care of.
Yes. All right. He is busy about taking care of your orders. At some point, eventually, he comes to you and says, I have assembled the best blacksmiths and artisans, and they are ready for your arrival.
Oh, I'm going to them?
Yes, I have sent them all into to a room very close to here. I would not dare let them in here.
Let's go.
And he precedes you, and you have an entourage that follows you. You are brought over to this room, very big room, and there's a bunch of tables everywhere, and there's all sorts of wares laid out. It seems like examples of their best work. And there's a couple of blacksmiths and artisans there.
All right. I call over the...
As soon as you enter, everybody bows.
I call over the blacksmith.
Okay. They line up in front of you.
And I say, let me ask you a question about my arm. Is it like to the shoulder, to the elbow? Where do I have motion?
Good question.
It only matters for what I'm about to ask them to do.
It ends here. You're not able to move your shoulder here. You have complete lack of ability to move anything from your shoulder down.
But I can, meaning can I lift my arm like this, like chicken wing style?
Nope. You must use your other hand to do that.
Okay, either way, I tell the blacksmith, well, two things. One is I redraw the revolver.
Okay.
And I, same way I did in the Empire, and I tell him I require this. And you make this?
Yes.
I also draw the schematic for the self-contained bullet.
Okay.
Ask them if they have black powder.
They're like, talking to each other about this, like, this is very interesting. Like, yes, this can be done. It has not been done, but it can be.
Then I want it to be done. And then I say, I also require a piece of armor made for my arm with the glove connected to it, black armor, that would fit over my arm and hand.
Yes, my lord. Yes, Grandmaster. We will make one. We will make the best ever. The best has ever been.
Okay. Then that's all I require from you. And then I call over the artisans.
It's just one guy, and he comes over.
Who makes the masks?
He's an old man. He's got, like, you know, that really long Fu Manchu kind of mustache and beard combo. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He's got that going on when he comes over. And he gets on his hands and knees, and he puts his face on the ground as he bows to you.
I tell him I want a black mask made. Plain, no features on it, and its only purpose is to that you cannot see that a southerner.
Yes.
And then I tell him I want it to be, what's the word? A cowl connected to a black cape, like one piece.
Yes. I will make one that will rival anything that is in the north.
And then I pretty much let him also know I want a whole black robed outfit for it.
Yes.
Then that's it. I dismiss them. That's all I require.
And he bows very deeply, and he leaves. Seems the older man had the most respect out of everyone there. And they pack up. Or you leave, actually, because they're going to mess with their stuff.
Okay. And then I ask... I'm always going to forget his name. My guy.
Tassadar. If they found,
I explain my bandolero.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask if that had been recovered.
Yes, it is with the clothes you discarded when you entered the pool.
Okay. Have that brought to my chamber.
I'll have it cleaned first.
That's all for now. I think that's enough to get started. I'm sure it's going to take him a while to get the stronghold.
Yep. A week goes by. And you are and the stronghold's being rebuilt. And repaired, and it's not as good as the original architecture, I can tell you that much, but it is being done to the best of their abilities. And at one point, Tassadar comes in with a box, a big old chest, and he comes in and he puts it in front of you, and he opens it, and he presents to you, and there is the armor piece, and your outfit, and the entire set you've asked for. And the black mask... has no eye holes, has no mouth hole, has no nose hole, is completely glossed over.
Okay.
And all this whole outfit all goes together.
Okay, I put the mask on my face to test it.
It is as if the mask isn't even there. You can see if not even your periphery is damaged. You see everything just as before. You can smell just as before. But there is something physically there. You can feel it against your face and nose. You know there is something there.
But and just so you know, because you said my arm was, like, destroyed, right?
Yeah.
So what I do is I take, like a bedroll, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And strap it on to give it, like, girth, so right. It fits in the armor tight.
Right.
And then I have that armor on my arm, so it looks like I have an arm that works.
Tassadar brings you things better than a bedroll to fill it with.
Okay.
All right. It's still going to be hanging down by his side. What are you going to do?
Well, I ask him if there is a healer or someone that could...
During that week, he brought the best healer they knew, and he comes to you, and he attempts to repair your arm, and he says, I've seen nothing like this. I can restore broken bones, I can restore arms that are no longer even there. Whatever has happened here is an ancient or deep magic that I know not how to counter.
Hmm. So be it. I guess my arm's just going to hang. All right. Well, I think what I do is, because it's armor,
mm-hmm.
what I do is I have the blacksmith put on a, what's the word
for that?
I think
you can lock and unlock the hinge.
Yeah, so basically it puts my arm, like the hand is probably like cupped at all times, right. Like as if it could hold something this way. Right, and then I put a strut, that's what it's called. There's like a strut, if you can picture from my bicep to my forearm, that would keep it like that. Right. You know what I'm trying to say?
Right.
But like you said, I can unhook it and let it fall.
You can adjust each of the hinges, mimic the hand and arm, elbow, wrist, each of the fingers, and you can adjust them as you wish. And once you like move them in place, they maintain there until you move them again. You don't need to like spin a nut and keep it in place. There's some sort of a friction there.
Okay.
And then there is an ability, if you pull a thing on the side, to lock everything completely. So that you could carry something super heavy and you wouldn't bend any of the...
Yeah.
All right. So it's As long as you use your other hand to move it, you can put it in any position you like.
Okay.
So, like, while you're not doing anything with it, you can have it just, like, behind your arm, or however wish you do it, or however you wish to do it. After about a week and many things are being taken care of and you receive all this and you, there is, some movement in, and Dasadar leaves a room real quick and then he comes back in with a bunch of guards and they're all going up your, you have a side room that leads up to the roof. You have the only access to the roof and they all go up there and he says, David, there is a dragon on its way here. It is the dragon that has served the Lin Kuei for a long time. I must make you aware this dragon is not loyal to the Lin Kuei itself, but has been loyal to its masters. Each master has been able to bargain with it. The strength of a dragon is very powerful and very important. Though I understand, of course, all matters are up to you, but I would advise that we do our best to maintain the alliance.
Okay, then I'll speak with the dragon.
He says, he has you wait there, and he goes up, and then he comes back down and goes, they're safe.
Okay, take me to him.
Hey, Erg Drog, what class did you just come from?
Pathfinder 102, Skills Detailed.
With Professors Caleb and Christian? I remember that class. Hey, listen, whatever the question is, the answer is perception. Those guys have a boner for that skill check.
Erdrog not need perception. Erdrog not need to perceive someone to hit them with an axe. Today in gym class...
Erdrog, please report to the principal's office. Erdrog to the principal's office.
He can power attack his legs and offer that extra 4 damage. My strip mod's better than his.
Do you know why you're here, Erdrog? Erdrog, you tried to sunder the gym teacher.
He walked into my threatened square. He invoked an attack of opportunity.
You only invoke an attack of opportunity when you leave a threatened square, Erdrog. And you can't even sunder a person. You can only sunder objects. Do we have to send you back to Pathfinder 101?
What, with Professors Caleb and Christian, who teach new and experienced players everything about Pathfinder?
Yes, their classes help everyone to be a better player. If you like Pathfinder, you'll love their classes. Now, I want you to go back through 101, Basic Mechanics, and 103, Combat Detailed with Weapons, okay?
Are you kidding me? Erdrog love those classes! Can't wait to take again.
Hey, hey, no run actions in the hall!
Pathfinder Academy, teaching you everything you need to know about the Pathfinder RPG, every Thursday here on the Trailblazer Network. See you in class.
You go up, and there, the roof is lined with your people. They look like they're ready to attack him if he makes any wrong move. And you go up there. And you're like the last one to enter. And as you go up, there is that massive green dragon that you were fighting. He kind of looks at you, and he turns his head left and right. And he breathes in. And he breathes out a big old roar.
I greet you, Oroku Saki. I am Vermithrax, Great Dragon of the North.
I give a respect bow.
Okay.
And I say, it's a great honor to meet you. It's my understanding that you had an alliance with my predecessor.
This is true. The words that you have spoken have not been deceitful, and the words that have come to your ear have been in earnest.
What would you require to continue this alliance with me?
And he kind of steps forward a little bit, and he almost like paces a little bit, and he goes,
your predecessor had offered me much, but you, in great combat with even myself, were able to vanquish him. It's no longer possible with the destruction of his great machine of ancient times. Now a new deal must be struck, and your prowess on the battlefield has brought to my mind terms. My son, you are to take him in, show him what you know. You are the one who can stand toe to toe with a great dragon like myself and come out in charge of an army. You control the loyalty of hundreds, the love of a people, the fighting power of one yet unseen. Train him, let him learn from you. And you will have my loyalty.
And he uncurls himself, and you see standing before you is a man.
It will be done.
This pleases me greatly. But be warned.
And he takes a couple steps to you, and Lin Kuei get in front of you.
I know your kind. You humans revel, and you humans have great desire. And you have great talent to back away from your word once given in trust. I will not. Dragons, you know, do not go back on their word. And I give you my word. Renege on our deal, and I will tear your fortress from the sky. And I will be sure you are in it before I do so.
I kind of push the Lin Kuei aside, and I step forward, like, right to the dragon, like, face-to-face, and say, I promise you, this accord will not be broken because of me.
Then let us rejoice, for today a long-lasting relationship was made in peace, and let it remain in peace for as long as it remains. My son, come forward.
I step forward.
Here is your new master. Learn from him. Be wise in all his ways.
I give a very, very lowly bow.
I will return and look forward to hear what you have learned. Respect and obey him as if he were me.
Of course, Father.
And he nuzzles your chest, and he spins around you like a serpent, and then he flies, takes off and flies away.
All right, I turn to my advisor, and I say, let the men know, not the details, but that Vermifrax is a friend of Lin Kuei still. I turn to the son, and what's your name?
Tharev.
Describe yourself. What do you look like? Right now, David, look, he has a black mask on. He has a big robe, as you heard earlier him describe. What do you look like, Tharev?
I have scale dragon armor. Well, it looks like dragon scales on me, but it's plate armor. It's like you know what it looks like, like sort of like chainmail but made with scales. Scale mail. And I have a black cloak around me with a gray inside. I have a gray eyes, brown hair, human, 5'8".
As Landy looking, or what's it look like? Race, I mean.
No.
Not as Lanty.
Are you armed?
I move my left side of my cloak aside to show my sword.
Apparently your father wants me to teach you how to be a better warrior.
So he has said.
But in order to do that, first I have to assess what type of fighter you are. And I touch his sword and say, do you know how to use this?
I nod.
I turn to my advisor and I say, bring me forward two fighters.
He nods to two of them and they walk forward.
And I say to them, I don't want this man armed. Or boy, is he young?
How old are you?
26.
Okay, I don't want this man harmed, but I want him tested. Do you understand?
Yes, they nod.
And then I say, show me. And I kind of step back.
And I bow, and I draw my sword.
Their swords appear in their hands. In their strike, they're attempting to use just their flat of their blades.
Mm-hmm.
Just describe to me how you beat these two.
I throw them both over. I'm just kidding.
This is where you fall down.
As they approach, like a bit of a fog bank, kind of starts to roll out from the bottom of my cloak, concealing me. As they enter the fog bank, I kick one of them's butt, and I throw them out of the fog bank, landing in front of David. Then it clears, and I take the last, one-on-one with the one guy, and I beat him quickly.
Okay, but in what way, showing what you can do? I want to show David your abilities here.
Did you beat him at swordplay?
Yeah, I beat him at swordplay.
Way stronger than him? Catch his sword?
I use something called Arcane Strike, which basically my sword... has like an eerie glow to it, and it as I'm striking it, it's like powers being is going out from it. It's just like blasting through their defenses each time. Okay. I bring my sword down, like their sword gets knocked out of the way, or like so you know what it looks like when someone's like completely on the defensive, like
yeah.
And in swordplay just boom, like repeated strike after strike. But there's this like again there's glow around my sword. Another thing that I do to show my moves.
Show me your moves.
I hate this.
Falcon Punch. You want me to just describe this?
I fire off some spells, I'm not trying to actively hit the person I'm fighting because I don't want to kill him. Sort of like bolts of energy shoot from my hand, multiple bolts at a single time.
You recognize this as the spell the dragon cast on you in the battle. Earlier, when he shot out those crystalline things of energy that came at you, five like missiles.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. After I beat them with swordplay, a mix of magic and swordplay, I let a fiery breath shoot forth into the air. Okay. I'm not good at this.
I hold up my hand and say, "That's enough."
I sheathe my sword and I bow.
And then I say, "Walk with me." I turn and start walking back down into the stronghold.
Okay. Tassadar and some guards go in front of you. You can assume at all times they have you kind of surrounded. You know, people in front of you, people behind you.
Okay.
Always far enough that if you want privacy, you can talk.
Tharab, I think your father might have overestimated me. You seem quite powerful. I'm not quite sure what he wants me to teach you. I'm definitely no more skilled with a sword and certainly not with magic.
His words to me were to sit under your guidance and to learn from you all that I can in reference to the world and combat and in this art of politics I've recently become acquainted with. My father has recently given me a stack of had recently given me a stack of books catch up on what politics is. I've never had to use it before.
Okay, then in that capacity, then I open my dealings freely with you. You may stay with me at all times, but I only urge you to have open ears and not an open mouth.
Of course.
And I don't have my gun yet, right?
I'll say it was given you with all your equipment. And this gun, by the way, it's, like, well-decorated with, like, gold intricacies. Have you ever seen, like, I'm sure I could find a picture, but, like, really well-designed revolvers that are, like, just inlaid with gold.
Do I have to change anything in my gear, or is it still going to work as my other?
It'll work as your other, and then you can enchant it with whatever you wish when you want to.
Yeah, yeah.
But it looks a lot more well-made than your other one.
When I lack what I lack in magic and swordplay, I overcome with this, and I pull the gun, and if we're in like a hallway, yeah, right, I guess there's probably like ornamental things or lamps, yeah, or whatever. I just like quick draw it and take out like six things instantly. I'm assuming Darev has never seen such a thing.
You see some guy had just finished putting them up and goes, oh. First he tells us to rebuild the thing, then he's just breaking it all.
I'm kind of drop-jawed a little bit. I'm amazed.
I spin it back on my holster and say, I think this is what your father was speaking about. I could teach this to you if you wish.
I'm here to learn.
Okay. And then I turn to whatever his name is, my assistant. And
Tassadar, I tell him, oh my gosh.
Do you have enchanters?
Yes.
I take the gun back out and I say, I want this gun made holy so that anything evil it strikes will be worse for the wear. This gun will only be used to stop evil.
A noble and wise decision. And you see he pulls out very quickly out of his hand the old flintlock pistol, an old mm-hmm. flintlock, and he hands it to you and goes, in the meantime.
Okay, and then I say, and also bring one for my friend. Have the blacksmith make him a revolver.
He goes, I will receive it personally.
Okay. And then I say, after you get that going, come to my chambers and see me.
After a bit, he comes back and he hands you the revolver and he takes the flintlock pistol back. I am assured this will stop anything who has an evil heart.
I tell him, now we have to talk about business. As the Grand Master, what is, and the Lin Kuei, what is our dealings with the common people? I don't mean people who speak common. I mean the regular people in the north.
He looks up at Tharev, and he looks at you and says, am I speaking openly?
Yes.
Grandmaster, the people, we protect them. We have set up a dummy king. He is not real, nor does he have any power. He has no sway. He is a man and an actor. And he is hired to pretend to be who he is. We parade him around once in a while. But you are the true ruler of these lands. You set forth what you say is right, and its laws enforced. And we have been protecting them. And doing what a good ruler has is supposed to do.
Okay. I say,
the palace is nothing but a shell.
I have some changes in mind, but I want to run them by you first because I don't know how they'll be received. So I need your advice, advisor.
He nods.
From this day forward, there will be no more slavery in this land. All people must be paid a wage for their service and are free to leave their employment at any time.
So be it.
The Lin Kuei must not be feared, but seen as keepers of peace and justice, and so shall I. I no longer wish to be spoken of in whispers or rule from the shadows.
It's a good thing he's respectful. People are like, oh, and that black mask where no one can see your face, you don't want to be in the shadows anymore.
No, I don't have to explain my reasoning to
him. No, that's why I say it's a good thing he's respectful. It's just funny. That is something that will change over time with a change of activity. It's not something we can make happen today.
But I want it known among the men. We don't rule through fear.
Yes.
We rule through doing what's right.
You will define what is right. As all Rokusakis have before.
And I kind of look over at Tharev like, are you listening? And then I say, I want to be given a tour of the lands. I want to go see my people.
When would you like this done?
What time of day is it?
It's whatever time of day you want it to be. It's morning.
Okay. Now's as good a time as any.
I shall get a litter together.
Tharev, I take it as hopefully you're starting to see that this is not my native land.
I did catch that drift, Master.
And I do not agree with all the ways they've been doing things in the past. And a good ruler is a just ruler, not through fear, but through... doesn't rule through fear, but rules through respect and mercy. If you wish to be a leader of men, I don't suggest ruling through fear. And this seems to be their way.
I know.
After a bit, you're escorted through the fortress and put in a carriage and ridden by being driven by a centaur.
Okay.
And you are taken. First you get by the palace, and he describes. He goes, inside it is nothing. It is but blank. But our men line its walls and strike down any who come close. Every now and then we send an actor out. And it has been tradition for people to turn their back when the emperor's carriage comes by. So it has maintained our ruse for many years.
Okay, we'll leave this in place for now.
As you will it. And you go through some different minor things, like these are the baths, which people have there relaxing. These are naturally born pools. And he goes to different areas. And then they stop at a certain area and get out, and he points in the distance. Far there, far in the northwest, if you continue beyond the horizon, you will come across a land where everything is giant. There are giant plants and trees. Its inhabitants are only animals. They maintain the average size. It is only the plant life that are large. Most people stay out of it, for it is very dangerous.
What makes it dangerous?
It has been so uninhabited for so long, the creatures have a strong hold on it. And nature here is more than just animals, for the very woods are thriving with life. The very trees themselves can strike a man down.
Okay. I see no reason to disturb that.
He takes you to the area where you first entered, those giant planet-sized balls.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, many of the things around here you will see have been built by the Aslanti many years ago. A very old empire that we are direct descendants of. Their blood runs through our veins. But throughout the annals of time, many of their secrets have been lost. Their architecture is beyond us. They have been able to weave natural and artificially constructed architecture so beautifully and seamlessly. These giant things we've been unable to determine their purpose. For our best guess, it is to revitalize the land. For every so often, plants around it flourish and thrive. It seems to give back to the very earth that which the plants take away. He goes to the towns and he points out a couple different businesses. You go by the fallen tomb, and he goes, this, I believe you are familiar. Actually, he wouldn't know. He knows nothing about it. This was the ancient tomb of Obnixilus.
Oh, that's interesting. I've never heard of that.
He goes, recently fallen. We have assumed somebody has raided the tomb.
And Caleb, just to save time so I don't have to ask him about each thing individually,
yeah.
When he describes the businesses... Like, what I'm trying to get at is, how does that work? Are we, like, extortionists? They pay us a percentage for protection or something like this? Or? Yeah,
it's nothing like that. They run several businesses, and it's essentially like the House of Chichiro. There, it is simply a place where we can staging points.
We're legitimate now, Paulie.
They're staging points, and business can be conducted there. By no means is the fortress the only place of the Lin Kuei.
Okay. For now,
all this has been bought and handled legitimately. None of this has been taken or strong-armed.
Okay. Then keep business as usual. Let me ask you this. What is our dealings with the Empire right now?
We have long feared it with Arcturus, as he had been taking any land he'd come across through force. The orcs to the southwest have been keeping him very busy until he was succeeded by his son, which you may know more about than we do. And his son has been more diplomatic. He has sent emissaries, and we have sent him emissaries. And we are doing dealings. He is trying to enfold us into his empire, but your predecessor saw that as nothing but vile, as nothing but a spit in the face of tradition, and the spit in the face of what makes us us. It is not what makes them them is not what makes us us. But of course, you may see differently.
Did my predecessor deal with the Emperor directly? I mean, I know through messengers, but did they have agreements between them?
They had not. We have kept up the ruse with the Empire that it is a king who rules over this lands and has sent only emissaries. He has seen nothing but the face of emissaries. Emissaries handpicked by your predecessor. In fact, soon there will be a visit from the south.
And so the Emperor does not... What you're saying is the Emperor is not aware of how the Oroku Saki works. He thinks the Emperor is the ruler here?
There are maybe 8 people in the world that know how this works. He looks over to Tharev. 9.
10. I say, okay, then for now, let's leave it at that. I don't wish for the Emperor to know about me. And now I have to give you the most important assignment I can give. There is a man that is a threat to me, to the North, and to the world as a whole. His name is Kaiser Soze. And I sort of described the whole rat face situation.
Okay.
Kaiser? Oh, my drinking buddy? I'm seeing him this afternoon.
And I say,
Kaiser Poo? I love him.
This man wishes nothing more but to kill your master. And so this man must be found. And that must be one of our top priorities. Whoever our best men are in these sort of matters, who find people, must find him. But I can't be clear enough. This is a very dangerous man. They are not to engage or even speak or be seen by him. I just need him located.
I will send our best spies. I will send the very earth against him. The very birds of the air will be our spies and will be our secret keepers.
With
if
this,
he cannot hide his face from the sky, he cannot hide his face from us.
I'm trusting you with this order, and you have to know this is of the utmost importance to me.
I understand. Speaking of the sky, through the week, a ring has started to develop around the planet, much like, what is it, Jupiter?
Saturn.
Saturn.
Saturn, yeah.
Saturn has, and it's been caused by the debris of the moon.
Whoopsie!
Also, can we cover that up somehow? Like an illusion spell?
Okay, it's enough for now. I want to go back to the stronghold.
Sure. Driven back to the stronghold.
All right, I go to the armory, the one that, whatever his name is, took
Ashitaka.
Yeah. Took us to.
Okay.
I know where David, I know what he's doing.
I go to the armory.
Uh-huh.
And I just go inside and start looking around, so.
Okay, this will be much like when you went to the fair. If it's something you want, it's probably there. And if it's not there, it can be made.
Okay.
Ooh.
You can look through the magic list and see what you want.
Because I've had an idea for a weapon, I just don't know if it exists.
Let's not bother doing that now.
Okay.
We can do that later, I promise you won't have to fight anything.
The only thing I'm going to do now is re-up my potion of disease and haste.
Potion of disease?
I mean, potion of cure serious wounds.
Oh, okay.
Just so you know, I re-up on what I already had, so we don't have to talk about anything new.
Okay. At some point, Tassar is talking to me, and then he kind of goes over to you and goes, kind of looks at Tharev, and then he gets very close to your ear, and he goes, may I address you as David with Tharev present?
No.
There
not
is
yet.
Somebody,
not yet.
There's somebody, Grandmaster, who... It is our scribe, our lore keeper, Zeratul, who I've spoken to before. Every day he has requested an audience, and I have turned him away. He is very persistent. It would mean a lot to him if you were to give him a moment or two of your time.
Then his audience is granted.
He makes a motion, and in comes the sky, and he's, you know, like how a lot of Lin Kuei have, like, the face masks and all that?
Uh-huh.
His, it is not, like, wrapped around and back here and very tight. It's loose. It's almost like a, think of it like a how a bandana would hang, but then it's long. It goes down almost like to his belt, almost as it would go. And he has very old-looking armor that's kind of like small pieces, like over the elbows, over the knees, a small thing over the chest that like wouldn't really protect anything. Old, and they're like silver with green emeralds in them. And he walks forward, and he bows very deeply. And he says, without lifting his face, Orokusaki Grandmaster, I pledge my allegiance to you. It is with great honor that I can even lay my eyes upon your hooded veil.
I was about to say, just to save me saying it every time, just know, unless I'm alone with my advisor and Tharev,
yeah,
I'm always wearing it.
Right.
No one lays their eyes on my face.
Cool.
And how can I help you?
I come to let you know. And he's still like not looking at you. He's looking down.
that all that I know is at your disposal. If you seek to learn of something, I will have the answer for you, or I can find it out. I know where to go. The places where secrets are kept, where ancient things are whispered, so that no one can hear them. I have ears to hear, and I can find the old tomes, and I know how to read them, for I have eyes that can see. And it is all available to you, the One Master, Grand Master Orokusaki. I am yours to command.
Well, then I have an assignment for you.
What can this feeble body do to serve you? Though my body is feeble, my mind is strong.
I want to know if it's possible to travel between worlds. And I want you to tell me how that could be done.
I shall put my full energy into this and bring you an answer on my life.
Then your master will be most grateful.
I will not rest for more than an hour at a time before I find you your information. And I must communicate how grateful I am that you would trust me with such a hallowed and honored request for knowledge. To know knowledge from somebody is so important. To trust somebody to impart upon you what they know is to respect them and their very soul.
And this entire time he has not raised his head to look at you.
You respect... Go ahead.
Sorry, I was about to say, jokingly, is this the part where he goes on for like half an hour about how awesome knowledge is and how...
I have a library. Would you like a card? First, you must apply. There are 5 forms. No, that's 1044C. You need 1044D, you magnificent buffoon.
I say your respect is...
acknowledged.
Yeah. You are dismissed.
Thank you.
And he turns around and he puts his head back up with his back to you so he doesn't see your face or your helmet, and he walks away. And the doors close. Tassadar says, "You are very patient."
I would have listened to much more if he can give me answers, the answers I seek.
I look at David and I say, "Master, a question."
Go ahead.
Why do you wish to travel in between the planets?
I don't. I just wish to know how it's done. Unfortunately for you, when you spend enough time with me, that answer will become clear. I'm afraid you've... are now in a dangerous place, and your abilities to battle eventually will be tested. I know. Oh, by the way, I want to add in, I've been training him, so every day we shoot.
Okay.
I hit a squirrel yesterday.
The greatest power I could give him.
During that week at some point, you were brought to the cemetery.
Okay.
Where they buried the old Orokusaki and the crying assassin, and you were offered the chance to put the first scoop on them as tradition. Do you have anything to say at the funeral?
I say, well, in the end, he was consumed with power and madness. He still served as your leader, and I respect that, and let this grave be treated with respect. And I throw the dirt on, and then when I throw the dirt on, I kneel down to his grave and I'm like, "You should have talked."
Nice. Alright David, when you return to your when you're at the end of the day and you're preparing, you're going through whatever you go through at the end of your day, your little ceremonies, you see there's a piece of parchment on your desk, very prominently in the middle. And, you go to open it?
Yeah.
And it says, "Elsa, ...
Okay, I motion to... I'm sorry, what's his name one more time?
Tassadar, you dummy.
I motion to Tassadar and I say, "Where did this come from?"
His face gets a little bit red and says, I know not.
Oh, he's blushing.
I will find out for you.
Yeah. Do that. And let's not have people in my chambers. Unknown.
Yes, Grandmaster.
And then I ask, I want a guard posted by the doors from now on.
I will double it. There has always been guards.
Well, clearly somebody fell asleep, so...
I will rout out exactly what happened. You will know by the time you rest, you wake your eyes tomorrow.
Okay.
And unless you want to do anything else, that's what we'll end for tonight.
Okay. And by the way, Thara lives with me. So, like, we've made him, like, a little space in the chambers.
Okay.
I have a little doggy bed off to the corner, right?
Yeah.
All right. That is that.
Trailblazers is part of the Trailblazer Network. For other great Pathfinder podcasts, visit our website, tblazer.net. Want to get in touch? You can email us at tblazernetwork@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter at tblazernetwork. Your players have been David and Dom, and Caleb has been your GM. I've been Nicholas Laborde. Thanks for listening.
Show me your moves!
This is where you fall down. Where do you get these guys?